Hello everyone, this is Giovanni Brito speaking, and I am your host for Season 5 of the International Voices at Queen's podcast. This episode is recorded on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples. And here today, I have the big pleasure of having with us a grad student, Eileen Editha. Welcome, Eileen, to our podcast.
Thank you so much, Giovanni, for having me. Yeah, pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you. I am so excited about this episode, Eileen. So before we begin, Eileen, I just wanted to hear from you a little bit about your background, who you are, what you study here at Queen's, if you are able to tell us a little bit about your space here at Queen's.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Eileen Editha. My pronouns are she, her. I am a final year, fingers crossed, PhD candidate at Queen's Faculty of Law. I moved to Queen's, or I moved to Canada from Indonesia in 2021. So I was born and raised in Surabaya, Indonesia, and moved here all the way to Canada in Kingston in 2021. So my research looks at the relationship between property rights and health law or medical law or bioethics. So I'm basically looking at the distributive impacts of the recognition of property rights over human genetic materials. In particular, I focus on how that impacts marginalized communities, so focusing particularly on women and racialized minorities.
Oh, yeah. That's great, Eileen. It looks like you have a lot of really cool things to share with us today, so I'm really excited to hear about all that. I promise you, I do have a lot of questions about yourself. So, Eileen, okay. So you first moved from Indonesia to the UK, right? When you were a teenager, I suppose. And how was this process for you in terms of readapting to a new setting, to a new culture, a new language? Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I should probably first clarify that I did my undergraduate law degree and my master's degree in the UK. So it was at Durham University, which is in the northeast of England. And yeah, having moved there when I was 18, sort of fresh out of high school, again, I was very, very privileged to be able to have that opportunity. But it was a huge culture shock for sure. The weather was also very different, especially during fall or autumn and winter. It was much, much colder than what I was used to in Indonesia. All in all, it took a while to kind of adapt, but very happy that I've had that opportunity.
Oh, that's so great. As an international student myself, I know exactly what you're talking about the struggles of, having to adapt to a new culture and especially using an additional language. Mm-hmm. So what brought you to Queen's University?
Yeah, so after my master's, I really wanted to pursue a career in academia, and a PhD was sort of the next step for that. Plus, I was totally encapsulated by my research in bioethics and medical law, and so I really wanted to continue that. So I applied to several different universities for my PhD. Queen's was one of the top choices, not only because of research support, but I had never been to Canada before, and I just wanted to see what it was all about, right? Or about, rather.
Did you think about the weather? Because, you were in the UK. It was cold there.
Giovanni, I wish I had thought more about the weather, because no one could have prepared me for the amount of snow and freezing cold temperatures.
Oh, no.
I remember one time my eyelashes froze during my first winter here. Really? And I took a picture and I sent it to my mom, and who's in Indonesia. And my mom was like, oh my gosh, Eileen, why are you doing this to yourself? You can come home. This is ridiculous. And I'm like, yeah, it is.
This is so funny. I am sorry. I don't mean to be mean, but that is funny.
No, it is. It is objectively hilarious.
It is.
No,
oh my goodness.
But now I'd like to think that now I've gotten some tips and tricks on how to weather the weather.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's so cool, Eileen. And now you're here at Queen's University. That's cool. I'm glad you took this decision, hopefully, for you, right? And you've, during your introduction, mentioned a little bit about your research program. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that now, right? So your research is on, quote-unquote, property rights over human biological and genetic materials. So can you please tell to our listeners who are not familiar with this topic, right? What this involves and how your communication skills have helped you to ensure your academic success?
Yeah, I think I'll start a little bit more on what the project is about. So what a lot of people don't know is that our genetic materials, our biological materials, once they're actually separated from us, become objects of property. So if you're in STEM, you might be more familiar with this because you work with cell lines or looking at genetic mutations. But those are the sort of things that companies, especially pharmaceutical companies, can actually have property rights over. And that means that they're able to use that, to develop that, and sort of to commodify or commercialize that. Now, often those materials are provided by donation from donors. And oftentimes they are also taken without their knowledge or consent, or explicit consent, rather. I'm basically looking at quantifying those harms and what that actually does to women and racialized minorities. And basically to make an argument that we have to redistribute the benefits and the harms of these processes. So now to your second question in terms of communication. I think because the subject is very technical in its nature, there's a lot of knowledge translation that needs to be done. So in terms of making sure that the scientific aspect of the research is still accurate, but also accessible to lawyers and philosophers and, you know, like non-STEM researchers. But also making sure that my research on the legal side is also accurate and accessible to the science people on the other side. So it's a lot of marrying those two different connections. Additionally, I use a lot of my interpersonal communication skills with this research as well. Because at the center and at the heart of the project is looking at how things affect people. Now, thankfully, I don't have to do any empirical research. That's going to be a dream of mine, but getting to present on these topics to different people. How can we frame the research project in a way that people can relate to and that people can take home and that they can implement it in their everyday lives, even if they're not lawyers, even if they're not biomedical researchers, even if they're not considering donating their biological material for research, even if they're not incredibly active in the medical field, right? So yeah, I think those are sort of the key communication skills.
Yeah, that was great, actually. You know, as you were providing your explanation, I was thinking to myself that you actually act as some sort of translator, right? I mean, making something somewhat very complex.
Yeah.
And sometimes far from, you know, the understanding of, you know, regular people.
Mm.
And you kind of bring this to something really simple. So now I wanted to move to talking a little bit about your role as a graduate inclusivity fellow at the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs at Queen's Eileen. So can you tell me a little bit about this role and what it means to you?
So as part of my experience at Queen's, I've been able to be a graduate inclusivity fellow at the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs. So I basically try to represent the SGSPA in events. So this is me and a few other, fellows, graduate inclusivity fellows. We all come from different backgrounds. Some of us are mature students. Some of us identify as queer. Some of us identify as first-generation scholars. So the idea is to show the public in recruitment efforts and in student engagement that, look, like academia and graduate studies and postdoctoral fellowships are for all of us, right? It's not just for one specific type of individual. It's not for one specific type of person. We can all belong, and making sure that those who are here do feel like they belong and do know that there is community for them and that there is support for them if they need it. And I think that's sort of the most important part of the role for me, is being able to affirm others and say, yes, you belong. And if they go through experiences that haven't been amazing here, to empathize with them and say, that really sucks. But now I just want you to know that you do have community and you are cared for and you do have support here. So that's been sort of the highlight of the role for sure.
Oh, that's so great. And you know, Eileen, for me particularly, it's very clear the passion that you have for this. You've mentioned this already, I believe, during your introduction. So you are, I'd say, a huge advocate for people of color and women, marginalized people in general. So I wanted to ask you now, how do you use your communication skills and, you know, your education to help the marginalized people? And how do you use these tools as well to eliminate racism and harassment?
Yeah, I think this is a bit of a tricky question for sure. I think the first qualifier I want to say is that I do try my best to help.
That's great.
And I do try my best to sort of decrease experiences on like racism and harassment. But eliminating all of those things completely is often impossible. It's a dream.
Unfortunately,
it's a dream. Unfortunately, it is impossible. Yeah. But again, I use a lot of my interpersonal communication skills as well as my professional communication skills, actually. So again, like what we mentioned, being a translator, one of the things that I am really passionate about, for instance, is tenants' rights. And that's something that affects all of everyone most people at Queen's. That's been one of the many ways I think I've used sort of my translation / interpersonal / professional communication skills.
Well, this is so great. I don't think I have that legal literacy, if you will. So you've shared so much about your skills and the amazing things you've been involved with. Now, I wanted to ask you, as you reflect about your achievements, do you think you have one particular superpower?
I don't think I have any superpowers.
Okay.
I would say, though, that maybe one attribute of myself that I used to not love and now have learned to embrace is the fact that I care a lot. Sometimes that is my downfall, like caring too much about what other people think, caring too much about something that I can't change or a particular circumstance that I can't change, caring too much about world politics or what's going on south of the border. It can get very, very draining. But on the plus side, I care a lot as well about people. And I care a lot about their problems, even though it doesn't really affect me. And yeah, so I think it's definitely both a superpower and a weakness, depending on what it is I do care about at the moment. But I would say that that is more of a superpower that a lot of people should have. If we care about each other just a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I like to be optimistic and positive, so yeah. I'll stick to the positive aspects, which is caring about people. We need more Eileens in the world.
I don't know if you need
to
actually
care about people. So, well, right now our episode is coming to an end. It was just like very fun to have you here, Eileen, with us. I wanted to thank you a lot for having the time and sharing about your life, sharing about your passion. And I hope to, you know, see you continue this fabulous work here at Queens. So it was a pleasure having you here, Eileen.
It's a pleasure to be here, Giovanni. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk to people and to you as well. It's been a pleasure.
So, okay, and with that, I'll wrap up this episode. So stay tuned for the next episode. This was International Voices at Queens Podcast, Season 5, with your host, Giovanni Brito. International Voices at Queens Podcast is a supportive listening space for members of the Queens University community, especially those engaging in language learning and those seeking to increase their intercultural awareness. This podcast is brought to you by the Queen's University International Center and by Student Academic Success Services. The beautiful music that you hear on the background was composed by the musician, composer, and music producer from Kingston, Sadaf Amini.